2 Kings chapter number 6, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7 this evening as we continue our study through the life of Elijah and Elisha. Of course, we've been dealing with the life of Elisha for many weeks now, and we'll continue this evening. But in 2 Kings chapter number 6, verses 1 through 7, we'll look at this passage of Scripture. You'll recall with me that the content of 2 Kings chapter number 5 is exciting. You read all of the account there. We spent 3 weeks in 2 Kings chapter number 5 looking at the interaction between Naaman and the little maid, and then of course Naaman coming to the house of Elisha and the healing of Naaman, and then of course the sin of Gehazi as we looked at last Wednesday evening. And what a great passage of Scripture that not only some exciting substance and seeing what God is able to do and how God is working, but we find that there are many valuable lessons for each of us today, even as we study this Old Testament passage of Scripture, the account that's been given to us there. As we continue to trace the steps of the prophet Elisha, we find now as we come to 2 Kings chapter number 6, a record that is given to us really about a building project, if you will. We find that this building project was really led by some of the sons of the prophets. You'll remember over several of our studies in recent weeks, we've made reference to these sons of the prophets, and we found that there were many of them in chapter number 2 as Elisha was accompanying Elijah before his translation, and as they went from each town, we found that there were some that would gather and make statements, and we found that as we've gone through the passage of Scripture, or the passages of Scripture, and we came to the end of chapter number 4, how that Elisha was there. There was a dearth in the land there in Gilgal. He was teaching, instructing these sons of the prophets, and we find that there was death in the pot, and God worked, and he through Elisha giving instruction with regard to the meal, and so on and so forth. And so we've seen some reference to these sons of the prophets, and we come to chapter number 6, and we see some interaction that's recorded for us between these sons of the prophets and Elisha, and we see this project that is ongoing. Notice with me in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master! For it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it." That's an amazing passage of Scripture. Again, we look at the miracles of the Bible, and if we're not careful, we can just kind of, oh yeah, I heard that before, and just kind of move over. But this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. This is an event that happened in the life of Elisha and the lives of these sons of the prophets that were preparing and being taught. And we find that as we look at the passage of Scripture, if you're taking notes this evening, I've simply entitled the message tonight, "The Iron Did Swim." We see that at the end of verse number 6. The iron did swim. 2 Kings 6, verses 1 through 7. Notice with me, as we look at the passage of Scripture, number 1, an honorable work. An honorable work. We find that as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we come to verse number 1, and we see the interaction that is recorded for us between Elisha and these sons of the prophets, that these sons of the prophets, they take the initiative and they go to Elisha. And I want you to notice that they say to Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." See, this is an honorable work. If you're taking notes, we notice, first of all, the honorable work. Why would we say that it's an honorable work? Well, there was a need. There was a need. you find that the sons of the prophets, they're recognizing that this place is too small for us. And as we would understand what's taking place, it would seem to indicate to us that there's an increase of the prophets that are being instructed, and therefore they need more room. They're out of space. Now, that's a good thing. And I'm thankful for the initiative that these men take in approaching Elisha, and they notice that there's a problem, but they don't just say, well, here's a problem, Elisha, would you deal with it? No, it's an honorable work. They identify the problem, but then they provide a solution, and we find that they seek the permission of Elisha, the man of God. Notice in verse number 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. They sought the permission from Elisha, and we find that Elisha granted permission. You notice at the end of verse number 2, he answered, go ye. So they recognized that there was a problem, but they said, here's a solution. We can go and we can get some beams, and we can make a place for us to dwell. See, because this place is too small, it's too straight for us, there's not enough room, and we need more room. And so here, Elisha, here's what we're seeking. Would you grant us permission that we go to Jordan, and every man takes a beam, and there we build a place where we may dwell? And Elisha says, go ye. We find that they then asked Elisha if they would join on this endeavor. The Bible says in verse number 3 that one says to Elisha, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I will go. Now, in my mind's eye, as I look at this passage of Scripture and consider a sanctified imagination, I see these guys that are gathered together. They identify the problem. They provide a solution. They receive permission. And they say, Elisha, we want you to go with us. Now, in your mind's eye this evening, in your imagination, can you see these men leaving from the place where they are, going down to Jordan? I mean, this is an old-fashioned work day. Let's go cut down some beams so that we can have the wood, so that we can build a place to dwell. This is an honorable work. This is a good thing that they're engaged in. They were not doing something that would be in disobedience to what God has commanded. They were not in violation of any of God's laws or principles. They were not violating the authority of Elisha. In fact, they sought his permission before they went to go. This is an honorable work. See, they got busy doing the work. I believe that the work that we look at here in 2 Kings chapter number 6, not only is it necessary, it's honorable. We find that the Bible says, so he, in verse number 4, speaking of Elisha, went with them, speaking of these sons of the prophets, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Now, I enjoy cutting down wood with a chainsaw, amen? And you get a good chainsaw, and you kind of just can have a good time. And I believe that in a certain way, it almost helps to relieve some stress. And I enjoy using an axe every once in a while as well, but I will admit that I enjoyed that about 20 years ago more than I enjoy that today. And but it's enjoyable. Get some work done, and they go. And I mean, again, can you see what's happening where they recognize the problem and they provide a solution and they go and they're all together in the work? The sons of the prophets, I don't know how many are there, but they're all there, and Elisha's there, and they're working. They're cutting down wood. It's an honorable work. There's an unfortunate loss that is given to us in verse number 5. The Bible now turns as we go through the dialogue here, as we're reading this record that is provided to us of this historical account. We find that it now focuses upon an individual that was engaged in the work. There was an individual there who was felling a beam. He was busy working. He had that axe, and he's chopping away, and he's right there in the work. He's not lazy. He's not on the sideline. He's not letting somebody else do the work. No, he's engaged in this honorable work. He's not a spectator. He's a participator. He's in, and he's cutting down a tree, and the Bible says, in verse number 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. We find that the Bible tells us of this unfortunate loss, that this axe head is now in the water. And we know that an iron axe head will do what in water? It sinks. It sinks. We find that as we look at this passage of Scripture and we find that which is taking place for us and we look at what's going on, we find that the principles of physics would teach us that that axe head is going to sink in the water. And those principles of physics, the laws of physics, if you will, they are in fact carried out. And we find that this man cries, and notice he says, "Alas, Master." Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to Elisha. I bet you some, I don't know if this is the same fellow that invited Elisha to come, but I'm sure thinking that he's happy that Elisha's there. Amen. It'd be kind of interesting if it was the same fellow that invited Elisha. Because the Bible says that in verse number 3, "And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go." I'm not telling you this evening that it's the same person, but I'm just saying it'd be interesting if it was. But even if it wasn't the same person, I believe that the fellow that's cutting down the tree is quite happy that Elisha's there. When he cries out to Elisha, I want you to notice what he says. He says, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." What's he speaking about? He's speaking about this axe head that now is missing, this unfortunate loss. We would find that is this unnamed man that is given to us here as he's called out to Elisha for assistance. He reveals to Elisha the situation, not only of the loss, but the fact that this axe head was borrowed. Really, I believe that it reveals to us the poverty of these individuals. The fact that they were going to engage in a work and they were understanding that this was a necessary work, it was an honorable work, and they were going to expand their place of residence, and it was a project that they were engaged in, and they were involved together, and Elisha was there, and these sons of the prophets are there, but they were poor, and they had to borrow an axe. And now that which is borrowed is missing. It's unfortunate. If he didn't have money to buy his own axe, surely he'd have a hard time getting money to replace the axe that's now been lost. I want you to think about this just for a moment. Sometimes we look at these types of situations and we say something like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? You ever heard somebody say that? Maybe we'd ask the question, sometimes people say, "I was doing something good and this bad thing happened." Yeah, it happens. The work that these men were engaged in was a good work. They were not doing anything in violation to any of God's laws or principles. They had the blessing of their master, the man of God, the prophet Elisha. He said, "Go ye." In fact, he went with them and they're engaged in the work. But yet the axe head is lost. The axe head is lost. And as we think about the content, that there are times in which we can be engaged in a good thing and something unfortunate happens. Something that we could look at and say, "Why did that happen? I was doing right. I was doing good." Can I tell you that sometimes, even in the midst of doing a good thing, we might have something that appears to be at surface level unfortunate, but God is going to show himself mighty. God's always at work in our lives. I believe that. I believe that God's always at work in your life. He's always seeking to develop his people. He's always seeking to receive glory unto himself. And he works in and through circumstances and situations in life so that we would be developed, so that he would be glorified. And here I believe that though these individuals were engaged in an honorable work, yes, there's an unfortunate loss, but oh, God's going to work. And God's going to work in such a way that something miraculous is going to happen. And we find that these individuals no doubt would have had their faith increased. But even now, thousands of years later, we have the opportunity to read of this account that took place in this man's life. And we can say, "Man, look at how God worked. Look at when it increases my faith. It helps me to understand what my God is able to do." We find that there's an honorable work in which they're engaged in. We find that there's an unfortunate loss. And notice with me, as we look at the remainder of the text of Scripture in verses 6 and 7, there is a miraculous recovery. A miraculous recovery. We notice in verse number 6 that the man of God said, "Where fell it?" As I study the life of Elisha, as you've joined me over these last many weeks, and really this is our 26th lesson on Elijah and Elisha. So we've been at this for a while, and it's amazing to me how so many times, specifically in the life of Elisha, he asks very simple questions. He gives very simple instruction. Where fell it? Can you imagine? I believe that Elisha has a calm demeanor. I mean, just in my sanctified imagination, I see this fella, he's kind of beside himself. "Alas, master, it was borrowed," right? I mean, he's kind of... And Elisha just calmly, in his calm demeanor, comes over and says, "Where fell it? Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Can you see it unfolding at the river? I just have this picture in my mind of the anxiety, the anxiousness of this individual as he's concerned about this lost axe head. And Elisha says, "Where fell it?" And he shows him the place. "Elisha is right over here." And he shows him the place. And Elisha, the Bible tells us in verse number 6, it says that he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Now just hold on right there. I know the verse doesn't end there. But put yourself in the man's eye, in the position of the man that had the lost axe. He cuts down, the Bible says, a stick and cast it in thither. Can I ask you, what is that going to do? Right? Maybe you'd ask the question. That's probably what I would ask. I'm just being transparent with you this evening. Just like when in chapter number 4, when there was death in the pot, remember? And Elisha said, "Get some meal." And he said, "Cast it in." And we find that they brought the meal. Flour. There was death in the pot. And the Bible says when they brought the meal that he put it in. And then he says, "Eat." And they ate. And it was good. Sustenance satisfied him. God healed it. And now we find Elisha cuts down a stick and he cast it in thither in the place where the man showed him. Here's where it fell. Because that's the question that Elisha asked. Where fell it? And he cuts down the stick and he cast it in that same place. And the Bible says the iron did swim. That's amazing. The principles of physics, the law of physics, was overcome in this moment. Iron doesn't swim. Amen? You can look, and I don't want to get all into it this evening, but you can look at Archimedes' principle, and you can look at all the laws of buoyancy and all of those sort of things, and understand how the displacement of water and the principles of buoyancy and so on and so forth. The iron axe head is going to sink. It's just the way it's going to work. But Elisha cast in a stick, and the Bible says that the iron did swim. Our God is the Creator. He is the Creator God. And there are moments in history that has been recorded, the miracles of our God, where He has overcome laws and principles that are in place to show His power. This is one such instance. When Elisha is there with the sons of the prophets, and they're doing a good work, they're engaged in an honorable work, a necessary work. There's an unfortunate loss. And he cries out to Elisha, and he goes to him, and he says, "It was borrowed." And Elisha says, "Where fell it?" And he cuts the stick, he throws it in, and then the iron swims. And notice in verse number 7, "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Now, verse number 7 is interesting to me because it just seems like it's so nonchalant, right? It just seems like it's just a, okay, now get it. Right? This is an amazing miracle. The iron did swim. And this son of the prophet, he put his hand and took it. The Bible doesn't tell us anything more about this event. Seven verses, that's it. It doesn't tell us about any conversation on the way back to where they were. It doesn't tell us about how they finished the project. It doesn't tell us anything more about this. In fact, as you go further into chapter number 6, we'll study over the next several weeks, you find how that the Syrians are seeking to have war against Israel, and Elisha keeps telling the people of God all the secrets of the king of Syria, and he thinks that there's a snitch, a spy within him, and so on and so forth. And the scriptures don't tell us anything more about this particular event in history. But I just believe this evening that this had a great impact upon this individual, and no doubt upon everybody else that was there. Amen? I mean, the reality is that when this man cries out, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed," Elisha's not the only one that came and knew what was going on. There are other people working. They were all engaged in the same thing. They're all cutting down beams so they can build a place to dwell in. And they know what the problem is. They know what the situation is. And then they know the miracle of God and how God allowed that iron to swim so that it could be recovered. And so it could be returned. And I just wonder sometimes in our lives, we think about the impact upon these individuals and how it would have developed them. And I wonder in my life, as I look at these seven verses of Scripture, and we say, oh yeah, I know about that passage. No, no, that we would be in that moment and see how God was working and to understand that our God is indeed able to do anything. He says to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for God?" We find that throughout the Scriptures, Jeremiah prays a wonderful prayer. "Oh, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power." He declares in the passage of Scripture that nothing is too hard for the Lord. We find that in the book of Luke, the Bible says that nothing is impossible with Jesus, with the Lord, with God. We find that in Ephesians, the Bible tells us that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. We read a passage like this. Most likely, if I was in a situation and I lost the axe head in the water, I'd just probably realize it was gone forever. I'd have to get into the water and try to find it. But our God is able to overcome and able to do anything. He's God. He is the Lord God omnipotent. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am. He spoke it all into existence. This evening, we look at this historical account. We see the impact of this account. We understand how it still would influence and impact our lives. But I wonder if we could, by way of application this evening, continue with the thought that I shared earlier. What is it that God's trying to teach me? What is it that God's trying to teach you in your life? When we're involved in doing something right, something honorable, but we deal with some type of an adversity or a setback or a trouble, a problem, and how do we respond to that? Because most of us don't really like problems. Most of us really don't like setbacks and adversities and troubles and difficulties, especially if we're doing something good. But I wonder in those moments, what is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to show me about what He is able to do? About how He can be glorified? Because the work that they were engaged in was an honorable work. It was necessary, and it was a good thing that they were doing. But there was an unfortunate loss. Could God have prevented that axe head from coming off? Sure He could. God could have kept that thing from coming off, but God allowed it to come off so that He could make it swim. Isn't that amazing? That's the God we serve. And how it developed that man. See, if God would have prevented the axe head from falling off, most likely we wouldn't be reading about it tonight. And most likely it wouldn't have had much of an impact in the life of that individual. Because probably when he borrowed the axe head, he anticipated going back with it. But because of the unfortunate loss, God steps in. And God does something that only he could do. Oh, this evening, I trust that we'd allow God to be glorified in our lives, that we'd understand that at times, God's just working to develop us and to glorify himself. That we would learn, yes, this historical account and see the impact, but that we in our lives, we would understand God's at work and he doeth all things well. His way is perfect. Our God makes no mistakes. This evening, the iron did swim. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to study thy word. What a blessing to read about this event in the lives of the sons of the prophets and Elisha. And as we consider the text that is before us and the event that transpired, Lord, how we rejoice in the work that they were engaged in and how they were willing to roll up their sleeves and get busy in the work. Lord, as we read of that loss of the axe head, we see the concern of the individual. It was borrowed, revealing to us their level of poverty. God, we rejoice in the miracle that was performed when the iron did swim. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives, that you would help us to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. God, you would help us to be mindful as we go throughout our daily routine that, Lord, you're at work in our lives, that you're seeking to develop us, that, Lord, through these events that you would be glorified. I pray that you would continue to work in and through each of our lives. Lord, use us for your honor and for your glory. We'll thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're certainly thankful.